Well, what a wonderful evening we had together this evening, singing carols and hearing that full account in Luke's Gospel of Jesus' birth. And I particularly enjoy that last carol, not just the wonderful chorus to O Come All Ye Faithful, but I love the way in which, as you sing that carol, as you sing O Come All Ye Faithful, we're invited to join and marvel at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're invited to come and marvel in that song that God himself would become one of us. That God himself would become one of us. We're to marvel that Jesus has finally appeared in world history. And that's what I want us to spend a little bit of time doing now. I want us to reflect on what we've heard together as we've read through all of Luke's account of Jesus' birth. I want us to marvel, to, as O Come All Ye Faithful says, to adore Jesus as we reflect for just a few minutes on that baby who was laid in a manger 2,000 years ago in a little backwards town in the Middle East which no one cared for. And we're going to do so by thinking about the words of Simeon as he held the baby Jesus in his arms, which Judy just read for us just before we sang our last song. Well, at this point, at the tail end of the story with Luke, it's about 5 weeks since Mary has given birth to Jesus. And as was custom, Mary and Joseph and the newborn Jesus, they pack up their things from Bethlehem and they make their way down to Jerusalem with Jesus and they go to the temple. And they go into the temple because you have to make sacrifices in those days. You make sacrifices for the mother so that she's purified ritually after the birth. But they also go to make a sacrifice because of Jesus. Because Jesus is the firstborn child. Now, Mary and Joseph, they were poor. We know they were poor because the sacrifice which they were supposed to take with them to give because of the safe arrival of Jesus was a 1-year-old, unblemished lamb. But a lamb doesn't come cheap, and they weren't able to afford it. And instead, God made provision for those who were poor. And so they brought with them 2 doves, 2 cheap doves, to offer as a sacrifice of praise for their firstborn son. And as this poor couple, it's Mary and Joseph and their little baby, their 5-week-old baby, as they're making their way across the temple court, an older gentleman, Simeon, he comes bustling across the temple towards them. And he scoops up the baby Jesus in his arms. And he starts to marvel. He starts to adore. He starts to praise God for the little baby boy in his arms. And this is what he says, as Judy read a few minutes ago, in verses 29 and 32 of Luke chapter 2. As he's holding the baby in his arms, he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And in just those few words which Simeon says, as he praises God, he reveals something vital about that baby, about Jesus, that should cause us to marvel this Christmas time. We learn that Jesus is the long-awaited promised one. We learn that Jesus is a baby who has come to bring peace. And we read and learn that Jesus is for everyone. Well, the run-up to Christmas is a time of waiting, especially if you're like me and you have young children around. Every morning, my three kids, they're 2, 3, and 7. It's good if I remember how old my children are. Yes, I think that's right. I'm sure my wife will correct me later. 2, 3, and 7. Well, every morning, they're super excited to get out of bed and go downstairs because then they can get their advent calendars out. And then they can open the next door on the calendar. Now, that might have something to do with the fact that there is a bit of chocolate behind every door on the advent calendar. And the wonderful thing about December is you're allowed to eat chocolate before breakfast. It's a wonderful time where things get topsy-turvy. But I think a sizable part of their excitement is because they're excited because Christmas is coming. For they know that every day as they rush downstairs, they open another door on their advent calendar, as they eat another chocolate, they're counting down day by day towards the long-awaited Christmas day and the inevitable shower of presents which is coming their way. And when you're a kid, when you're 5 or 6, waiting for the 24 days on your advent calendar to work all their way out seems like an eternity. When you're 6 years old, 24 days, even if it's 24 mornings of chocolate, feels like you've been waiting for the promise of Christmas forever. Well, Simeon, he had been waiting for some time in the temple. We know from Luke's description that he was a godly man, and we reckon that he probably was quite elderly, quite advanced in years, quite senior age-wise. But what he was waiting for, as he was going to the temple day by day, he was waiting to meet the Messiah. He was waiting to meet the one that God had promised to send into the world to rescue his people. He was waiting for the Messiah, God's promised forever king. And God had spoken directly to Simeon. By the Holy Spirit, he'd revealed to Simeon that one day, before Simeon died, he would see the Messiah for himself. And that's when he spots Mary and Joseph across the great and bustling temple courtyard. He spots this ordinary young couple. Mary was probably no more than maybe 15 years old at most. He sees them struggling along, a bit poor, tagging along with a newborn baby. Nothing much to look at. Everyone else would just be going about their own business. There would be no reason to look at them. But the Holy Spirit prompts Simeon. He tells Simeon that the child that they've got with them, the child that Mary is carrying as they make their way to make their sacrifices, is special. That baby is the Messiah. That baby Jesus is the one that God has had him waiting into his old age for. And so Simeon rushes, as only old people can rush. He rushes across the courtyard and he scoops up the baby into his arms and he starts to praise God. He marvels at this baby in his arms. And he praises God. And he praises God because God has kept his promise. Simeon's wait is over. Simeon's wait has seen the end of his days. He has seen the Messiah, God's promised forever king, before he dies and leaves this world behind. It wasn't just Simeon who had been waiting for Jesus. But God's people had been waiting for him for centuries, no, thousands of years. God promised long ago through the prophet Isaiah, about 700 years before Jesus was born, he promised that the virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. God didn't just make one promise about Jesus. He promised again and again and again and again. Over thousands of years. But many promises are like many doors on an advent calendar. As the promises piled up, the delay seemed to last forever. Again and again, God was promising that one day a child would come. One day, the Messiah would finally arrive. And there, in that Jerusalem temple court, that very first Christmas time, in that five-week-old baby, that wait was finally over. Finally, in Jesus, that promised child had come. Now, have you finished your Christmas shopping yet? I'm seeing a few shakes of heads in this room. I would like you to spare a thought for those people who decide to go out and battle their way through the shops in the coming week. Because it really is that chaotic time of year. Because you've got to go out and you've got to get presents for the whole family. And they've got to be right. But it's also exhausting, isn't it? It's an exhausting time of year and expensive. Christmas seems to be filled year after year with more and more reasons to spend money. More parties to go to, more mince pies to eat, more cheeses to buy, more hams to eat, more people to satisfy. And one of the recent trends that seems to be out there that's trying to squeeze a little bit more money out of you in the run-up to Christmas is the £50, 50 quid something advent calendar for adults. They've realised that you can get people to spend 2 or 3 quid on a chocolate calendar for kids, but why not squeeze a bit more money out of adults and give them a full-size one? But instead of behind each door being a little chocolate, maybe there'll be a scented candle, or maybe there'll be a craft beer, or maybe there'll be a really posh chocolate. Christmas can seem to be exhausting. It can seem to be filled with many different ways to just squeeze a little bit more money out of you, to guilt trip you into spending, and to trying to make sure that you've got every angle covered. Especially if we let the adverts and the shops set the trend for us. But that's not how Christmas should be. Christmas shouldn't be exhausting. It shouldn't be draining. Christmas should be satisfying. Christmas should be a source of peace, not anxiety. Because Jesus is a child of peace. When Simeon, when he held Jesus in his hands, he was satisfied. He experienced an overwhelming contentment. He was at peace because he had seen God's salvation in Jesus. And from now on, he could have no regrets about his life. He could depart in peace. Simeon had seen Jesus, this little baby boy, and he was now at last happy to die. He had an utter contentment about his earthly life. In our world, our town is full of discontent. It's filled with demands on our time and on our wallets, cravings, wants, and needs. And never more so than at Christmas. But Simeon says to us to be like him, to come to Jesus, to scoop up Jesus into our arms, so to speak, and as we see Jesus at Christmas time, to see God's salvation in him. And when we know God through Jesus, we will discover that he is enough. He is the child of peace. He's the one who puts the end to our need for 1,000 different knickknacks, our need to do 1,000,001 things every Christmas. Because Christmas, when it's stripped back and taken to its roots, is all about Jesus. Jesus is enough. Christmas is first and foremost about Jesus coming into the world. Now, one of the amazing things that Simeon praises God for is that Jesus is salvation. For Jesus is not just for Jewish people, but that Jesus is for all the peoples in the world, what the Bible calls Gentiles, those people who are not Jews. Because Jesus came, not just because God promised, not just to bring us satisfaction, but Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago as a baby first and foremost on a rescue mission. He came to save people. He came to save young people and old people. He came to save men and women, boys and girls. He came to save rich and poor people. He came from heaven as a little helpless baby to save. Now, you might very well ask, what is it I need saving from? I'm perfectly respectable. Bury St. Edmunds is a very comfortable place to live. I want for nothing. I'm sure that God, if he's there at all, I'm sure that God is probably rather happy or at very least indifferent with me. But the truth is, before God, we're all in rather deep trouble. Jesus, when he grows up, he's going to tell us that God's law for our lives, how God wants us to live our lives, could easily be summarized in two simple rules, two simple laws. That we are to love God with all that we are, and we're also to love everyone else as we ourselves would want to be loved. Sounds very simple. On the surface, it sounds very easy. But the problem is, as we think about it, very, very few of us, if any of us, have ever truly done that. Who here has loved God with all that we are for every moment of our being? Who here has loved our fellow mankind as themselves, at all times and in all places? And because of that, we have all broken God's law, and we deserve to pay the punishment that our crimes deserve on one final day. But Jesus, that little baby, as Simeon holds him in his arms and looks at him, that baby is salvation. That baby is rescue for Jews and non-Jews. He came 2,000 years ago as a baby so that he would grow up to live the perfect life, loving God and loving others as no one else ever has. And then ultimately to die in our place, to take the punishment that our crimes deserve for how we have failed to keep God's laws. So that this evening, anyone who comes to Jesus and adores him like Simeon does, anyone who comes to Jesus and praises God for him, anyone who comes to Jesus and sees that in him is God's salvation, God's rescue, can be forgiven, have more than that, can be brought into God's family forever and find complete and utter satisfaction in him. Jesus is the Savior for all people. He's the child for all people. And he invites anyone, no matter how good or how bad they are, to come to him. Well, having heard Simeon, this godly old man, who is cradling Jesus in his arms, having heard Simeon sing these praises to God about their son, Luke tells us how Mary and Joseph, Jesus' earthly parents, how they reacted to what Simeon had said, short of, get your hands off my baby. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. What about you? I wonder how you react to Jesus this Christmas time. Do you react as Mary and Joseph did and marvel at Jesus? Do you marvel that this child was God himself in human form? Do you marvel that this baby came to save the world? Or perhaps this evening you're here and you've never really thought about it. You've never really thought particularly deeply about Jesus, and really you've just come to sing a few good old-fashioned carols. Well, we're absolutely delighted that you've come along this evening. But we believe, though, along with the words of Luke, who wrote this gospel, and Simeon, who cradle Jesus, that Jesus is someone amazing. For Jesus has come to make us right with God, to make us satisfied, and to get us ready to die in peace. Just as Simeon saw at that very first Christmas.